Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The Die Hard Eagles podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today, bet 100, get 100, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions apply. We're also brought to you by SGPN's Big Game Squares Contest, $1,000 prize pool, and completely free to enter. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/squares to enter today. Welcome, everyone, to the Die Hard Eagles podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Sean, stacking the money green with my fellow diehards, Rob and Justin, and the Philadelphia Eagles punched their ticket to Super Bowl 57 with a dominating win, 31-7 over the San Francisco 49ers. A lot of complaining by the 49ers. Oh, the refs. Oh, we would have won if we hadn't gotten injured. Come on, let's be honest. You couldn't block the Philadelphia Eagles. You couldn't stop Hassan Reddick. That's why you lost. You, Kyle Shanahan, the coaching genius, decided to try and block him with the tight end. You didn't challenge an obvious drop by Devonta Smith. You got worked by someone who wasn't even nominated for Coach of the Year. You lost that game. You lost by 24. Thoughts and prayers. Dominating win. For me, there were so many good plays, so many highlights, but I'll tell you the one that maybe doesn't get talked about a ton was that A.J. Brown catch where initially watching it, I thought it was a bad throw by Hurts, but rewatching it on the film, like he really, they had a ton of pressure. He miraculous throw to get it off, threaded it perfectly. It was really low, and then A.J. Brown sucked it right off the ground, got the first down, kept the drive alive. So much to like from that win. Justin, tough to pick your favorite moment, but what do you got?
Yeah, I think in the same vein, I mean, mine has to do with the catch as well, and it's that Devontae catch, and you can argue whether it was a catch or not. I honestly, I don't think it was in the end, but it's not our fault that they didn't challenge it, right? I think that my favorite moment, though, overall was the coaching, because after that catch, you see Devontae immediately come up, start putting the fists together, and I was watching the game with some Niners fans, and I was like, oh, crap. I was like, I don't think he caught it. I mean, yeah. They're running to the line. He's making that motion. And you assume that, you know, he's been coached, like, get up to the line. It's something that watching games over the years, you've wished teams would do. But this seems so obvious at the time. I thought Kyle was going to throw the flag. He never did. They never got a good replay, it didn't look like, before they got the playoff. But, man, that was great. And then even the play where Purdy got injured, and it looked like it might be an incomplete pass, and it wasn't intercepted. It was actually a fumble. I mean, if you look at it, I forget who dropped the potential interception, but then Linval Joseph immediately picked up the ball and tried to run with it. And that's another thing you see in games sometimes where guys think it's an incomplete pass and they just let the ball sit there forever. And then it goes back to the offense. If he doesn't pick that up, we're screwed. So just huge coaching details right there. And it's great to see, because in closer games, especially in the playoffs, those are usually the things that make or break you.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, to your point, like, those are two things that I know, just sitting on my couch slamming some high noons, that I'm always saying, like, hey, you got to fall on that ball. What are you doing? Pick that up. That could be a fumble. Or, hey, run up and hurry up and call that play. Like, those are obvious things that even guys like us sitting on our couch watching the game know to do. And we're like, hey, if we're a head coach, we would always do that. Or the best example, hey, if it's fourth and one and I have a guy like Jalen Hurts, I'm running for it every damn time, and he does it, and it works. It's crazy. I was nervous when 4th and 1 on our own 35. The game was tied at 7 at that point. And 4th and 1, don't think anything about it. Just go up, run the QB sneak, get the first down. It's really crazy. Sirianni, I think, really had, you could make a case, the best game of anyone on the team. But Rob, what was your big takeaway? What's your favorite part of the huge victory in the conference championship?
Wow, how about that defensive genius, Jonathan Gannon? I mean, who would ever doubt that guy? What a performance. What a defensive performance, and announces he's coming back. No, but seriously, you got to give kudos to the defense. I mean, they won us the game, candidly. Yeah. I don't think it was our best offensive game. I get that we scored, you know, it was 31-7, but it was the defense that allowed us to get that many points. It was not an offensive, juggernaut game by any means. I still think Hurts is bothered a bit by the shoulder. I mean, he missed AJ Brown on that wide open deep shot. So that does give me a little pause, that hopefully they start clicking a little more. But that defense, man, they just clicked. They bailed us out. And, you know, it's like you said, everyone's saying, well, you beat them with no quarterback. Well, we beat them with no quarterback because the defense knocked them out and no one's rooting for injury. But, you know, they were getting after the quarterbacks and making everything tough. And, I think Reddick, Justin, to your point about Joseph picking up that fumble, he said he knew right away it was a fumble. And I think he said he was yelling for the play and for it to be challenged. So I think he knew right away. There's so many takeaways from this game. As you said, I think it was a great coaching day for the team. I think the Eagles, and, you know, I saw, and I wish I could give credit because I don't know who first pointed it out online, but even the offense made a subtle tweak how they started running to the weak side, I think, to throw the linebackers off. I think they did it first on that Miles Sanders touchdown. I saw that noted that was a great adjustment by Steichen and Sirianni. So, it was just a fun game. It was a great game. I almost wish Purdy had just played the whole game so we wouldn't have to, hear about it from the 49ers and from other people that, this was an easy win. But, hey, a win's a win, and we are going to the Super Bowl.
Hell yeah. And it's crazy. I mean, just getting to the Super Bowl. I think we were all on a similar page when we came into the season of, hey, this year's about getting that first playoff victory for Jalen, kind of taking that next step as a passer. And he's certainly done that. And the defense, I think, has taken a massive jump. The big takeaway is going to be, Eagles haven't played anyone. The competition they've played has been shitty, but also we've been dominating these teams. No shade on the Chiefs, but if they don't get that unsportsmanlike penalty tacked on to the Mahomes run, who knows if they're even at the Super Bowl? Like, we just beat two teams in the playoffs, and granted, we had the easiest path because that's what happens when you go 14-3 in the regular season to lock up the number one seed. Your path gets a little bit easier, and we just dominated both teams. I mean, you want to look at like comparables. Again, it sounds crazy, but we're right up there with sacks with the 1985 Chicago Bears. And the Chicago Bears, their first two games, they allowed 0 points. They shut out back-to-back opponents. Now, our defense probably isn't quite there, but man, back-to-back playoff wins where you only allow 7 points, back-to-back playoff wins where Gardner Minshew gets in because we're benching our starters because the game is out of hand. It's really been crazy and very exciting to see the defense, and really the fact that we were able to, injuries aside for the 49ers, the fact that we were able to run the ball on this team against this 49ers defense is something that's really, really exciting. As far as concerns for the game.
Yeah, Sean, before you even go to concerns, I got to chime in, and I meant to touch upon this immediately, that obviously, Reddick is probably the player of the game. I don't know that anyone would really dispute that, but
I did name him my player of the game, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough not to, but I think you got to give a ton of kudos to Lane Johnson. I mean, guy is playing, you know, with an injury and shut down Bosa. I mean, he gave up no sacks. I don't think he gave up a hurry. I mean, it cannot be understated, you know, how well Lane is playing, even with the injury. I mean, he is really the, you know, the I guess him and Kelce are really the pieces that anchor that offensive line. And we've talked about many times on the show that we just don't play as well when Lane's not in the game. So to have him play at such a high level with this injury is really pretty phenomenal, and he deserves a lot of credit.
Yeah, in between two games, zero QB hits, zero sacks. That's really impressive. Now, I know we didn't throw the ball a ton against the 49ers, and I think maybe they had, you know, a couple tackles for loss, and I think one box score may have graded Hurts's like bootleg run where he maybe lost like a tenth of a yard as a sack, but really, they've just done such a good job of protecting him and really just kind of dominating in the trenches, and that's really, really kind of been the difference. Is just both games we just pushed them around, and you know, to the point in the second half where it felt like both the 49ers and Giants were kind of just looking to bleed the clock and get out of there. As far as you know, concerns for the game coming up, I'll tell you one: our punter, I think, is a legit issue. You know, in a game where we can't give the Chiefs any sort of good field position or any sort of, you know, freebies when it comes to returns, the fact that he has struggled so much, now granted it'll be in a dome, maybe there's some outdoor stuff, but he did hit that cable, and then there was that drama of like, oh, yeah, they wouldn't let him redo it because they didn't have video of it hitting the cable, which seemed
cable
like
gate, Sean.
Cablegate. I mean, again, when you're playing this offense, you can't give them shitty punts. I maybe we'll just have to run it back like we did against the Patriots and not punt at all in the Super Bowl. That is one strategy to avoid the punter, but I think the punter is a real issue. Taking a quick break to talk about WynnBET. That's right, they got you covered for the big game right around the corner. You want to get down on your Philadelphia Eagles? Of course you do. You got to do with the best. WynnBET, baby. Bet big, win even bigger. Thanks to all the great promotions, great odds. A lot of places, minus 110, not over at WynnBET. Minus 108 right now on the juice for the Eagles. Laying 1.5. Moneyline minus 125. Total sitting at 49.5. And, of course, a plethora of amazing prop bets. You like A.J. Brown to score the first touchdown? That's 8-1. You like Zach Pascal to score the first touchdown? 30-1. So many ways to win over at WynnBET. Bet big, win bigger. Restrictions apply. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. Bet $100. Get $100. And of course, if you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Offers subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. And we're back on the Diehard Eagles podcast.
It's tough. Yeah, I think Kern has struggled a little bit. I know last game maybe isn't a fair assessment because of the cable and the 17-mile-an-hour winds. I did see McAfee talking about him a little bit, and especially with his first punt, he might have kicked it a little low to keep it under, but it did roll in the end zone. It's something you and I talked about briefly, Sean, at the beginning when we first logged in together. Is, you know, it, even if he can't boom it as far as he used to, he's got to be able to pin them down. Like, especially in the playoffs, you don't want that ball rolling into the end zone, giving him those extra yards. You know, try and get him inside the 10 at worst, inside the 15, but it shouldn't be rolling into the end zone at this point. And I'm with you. I mean, the punter is a little bit of a concern, especially in a game where it could be decided by field position in the end.
Yeah, I mean, what about you? I think Hurts, again, his arm hasn't really it's weird. Like, he had that nice deep shot to Devonta to start the Giants game, but you know, he missed AJ. I'm assuming, you know, watching that, it was on Hurts on a little bit of an overthrow. And I'm sure, you know, his shoulder has been a bit of an issue. And yeah, I don't know. Like, I think his shoulder, it'll be interesting to see where his shoulder is in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I hear you there too, Sean. I mean, that is a little bit of a concern of mine. Most definitely. I mean, if you look at the last two games, he hasn't passed a whole lot. And luckily, we haven't needed him to. So why ask him to throw more than he needs to, as you said, with the shoulder injury? But at the same time, it means that he hasn't gotten the reps that he might need coming into a game 2 weeks from now. I mean, he was out for a couple weeks because of Minshew, came back. He hasn't thrown a ton. And I don't know if this past game, when he did throw, as you said, he was throwing a little low, it seemed like, or a little off, as Rob pointed out, that other throw to AJ. Is that rust or was that 17-mile-an-hour winds? Who knows? But it is something to keep an eye on and be a little bit concerned about, especially if it comes down to a situation where we truly need him to pass at the end of the game in crunch time.
Yeah, I think that would be the concern. You know, the Chiefs are going to score some points, right? We're not going to, you know, as much as I like to say we're going to go in and shut them out or hold them to 7 points, they're probably going to get some points. So, you know, we need to be able to pass if we need to. You know, I do think, you know, the run game could be important. And, you know, obviously we'll have a full preview show, so I don't want to get too much into the strategy, but you know, I just think we are going to have to be balanced and we may have to throw a bit. I mean, we're not going to have a scenario where the other team literally can't throw a pass for half the game. So if it does get into a higher scoring game, we're going to need the ability to throw points. And, you know, luckily there's another 2 weeks. So, you know, he's going to be probably 5-6 weeks from the injury. So hopefully he's just getting better and better by day, and hopefully that won't be a concern.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he'll be 100%, but I would imagine he continues to get a little bit better. I think, again, not jumping the gun too much, but there should be some opportunities for this Kansas City defense, especially with our physicality. I mean, I think that's another big takeaway from the 49ers. Like, I hadn't seen that level of physicality from this Eagles defense or just Eagles team in general. There's been moments, but I think that was kind of one of the more complete games, especially from a physicality thing. Like, you just look at our offensive line and defensive line, they dominated from the beginning of the game till the end of the game. They were just pushing guys around, and I really thought they would struggle running the game. I liked our defensive line against their offensive line. Again, I did predict Hassan Reddick, player of the game, with my 30-16 prediction. I overshot the San Francisco 49ers offense with the 16 points, but I was really surprised at the offensive line ability. I mean, Jordan Mailata, pancake and block, you know, getting a pancake block on Bosa. There was really some next level physicality. As far as injury stuff too, like, we look pretty clean. Vontae Maddox was in that game, looking good. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was all over the field. Like, we are really fully healthy. The only injury we suffered, it seemed like, was Landon Dickerson hyperextended his elbow. It's funny how he always gets hurt, but that is always okay. Knock on wood. But by all accounts, he should be good to go for the Super Bowl. Maybe he will wear a brace, but we're really in good shape. And man, it's tough not to get excited thinking about how good our line is going to be come Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, Sean, I was genuinely concerned about Dickerson there and the fact that I didn't think he was going to be able to come back from that, but it is great to see. And as you were saying, with the biggest takeaways, the O-line, D-line, I mean, one thing that was nice to see is the tackling that took place. Now, there was one obvious play when they scored that touchdown, that was just pathetic, and I think we all were ashamed in that moment of the team. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, you see a couple – clips. I mean, CJ, GJ coming up to make plays, Maddox. I mean, guys were kind of flying around, especially against Samuel and Caffrey, which it was nice. They didn't get too many chunk plays. Now, part of that is simply because, hey, once Purdy's out, you kind of know there's going to be a heavy run game. So what else are they going to do? But at the same time, hey, they did their job. And the only way they could have gotten back in that game is if they were able to break a few tackles. And other than that touchdown, which I mean, they did a good job of wrapping them up. Hopefully it's something that'll take place against the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, the tackling is something that is just, I don't know, it's kind of come and gone. I expect to have a pretty good tackling day come Super Bowl. It seemed like it was better normally at home, but again, we let up 7 points. It's hard to really get that upset. Let up 7 against the Giants, who they had a full, it is hilarious how the narrative changes of like, oh, Daniel Jones, look out, red hot Giants, here they come. And then everyone's like, oh, who'd they play, the Giants and Daniel Jones? It's like, wait, wasn't everyone hyping up Daniel Jones all season? Isn't Daniel Jones the guy that they're going to re-sign to this contract and extend him? Oh, what, now because we beat his ass two times and beat the Giants 3-0, all of a sudden they're not good? What happened to that? It's just a classic how the sliding narrative. But Rob, what about you? Big takeaways moving forward.
Yeah, I think the big takeaways moving forward is, I think we can move the ball on offense. The Chiefs, they have a decent defense. I don't see the Chiefs play a ton, but I think we can focus on our game. And I do think it's a game where if you can establish the run and keep the offense on the field, it's going to be beneficial to us. Keep Patrick off the field. My concern just going in on defense initially is I think we got to be leery of the quick passes, right? If they get the ball out quick, it's going to minimize our pass rush. And the Chiefs actually have a pretty good offensive line. They have a much, I think they're good in pass protection from some stats I've seen. So, if they get the ball out quick, and I was watching something today where they said if they were the Chiefs, their game plan coming in against us would be get the ball out quick, those like 5 to 7 yard throws, Kelsey, you're going to have second, third and short. And you could also move the ball quick to minimize our substitutions on that line, because obviously one of our big strengths is that line depth. So we're going to have to be prepared for that. Now, I think at the same time, Mahomes has that natural playmaking ability where he wants to hold on to the ball sometimes and make a bigger play. And those might give us those instances to kind of, capitalize. And I saw some people talking about that online today. So that's my initial thing. But obviously, Kelsey's going to be a matchup nightmare. I would say if there's any weakness we have in coverage, it's probably our linebackers around the middle. They've had a good year, our linebackers, but I don't know that they're truly elite in coverage. So that would be, if I'm Gannon going into this game, what I need to focus on. How can we minimize those quick plays, especially with their wide receiver core that's pretty banged up right now? I don't know how many those guys are going to be back, but they're not at full depth.
I thought we were breaking down the game next week.
Yeah, well, we're jumping into it a little bit.
Rob couldn't help himself. The real thing as fans, can we get a good hype video? I feel like the first hype video,
please,
against the Giants was a complete disaster. This hype video that we had recently for the conference champ, it was better, but it was, they trotted out Dawkins. They haven't blasted, dreams and nightmares. Listen, I can get hyped on my own, but man, it's been disappointing. I know, Justin, where are you at with the hype videos? We need a good one going into the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think you or Rob, I think it's mostly you keep sending the hype videos, but I mean, I just stand back like this. I just need some badass music with just some badass plays, like hits. That's it. I'm a simple man. I don't need much more. That first one before the Giants was like all about the fans or some crap. It's like, I don't care about the fans. Like, just show me the team and some plays on the field. Like, I want to get excited. I do appreciate Dawkins and the voiceover, but for some reason, the way that was edited, that third one that you sent, I think that just like something was off about it. And it wasn't Dawkins' fault. I think it was more the editing. So just get me some music and some awesome plays and I'm happy.
It's way easier to trash the editor than to trash Brian Dawkins.
I wasn't gonna throw him under the bus.
I mean, we just need something to pass the time. The 2 weeks is brutal. And, you know, they're going to run the same storylines over and over. They're already all over the Kelce brothers, which is cool. Like, good for them. And, you know, obviously we love Jason Kelce. But it's going to get overplayed, in my opinion, by the time the Super Bowl comes. I already heard some people like, oh, the team that fired Andy Reid like 10 years ago, like almost like trying to create some like animosity that I don't think exists. It doesn't seem to me like Andy Reid has a ton of ill will toward us or anything. Obviously he wants to beat us, but you know, let's just get to the game and I could easily skip the storylines over the next, you know, week and a half.
Well, Kyle Brandt, I just saw, brought up the fact that when Andy went over to the Chiefs, Sirianni was the wide receivers coach, and that Andy brought in all his own guys. So essentially, Andy Reid fired Sirianni when he was over there.
Yeah, you want to talk about revenge? Nick Sirianni, a dish best served cold. How crazy is it that 2 years from his first, you know, bumbling simple systems Zoom press conference, amazing, 2 years later, he's in the Super Bowl. How awesome is that?
It is. It's insane to me to think that that guy is now in the Super Bowl. I mean, I was just watching his press conference with his kids. By the way, I love seeing his kids at the press conference. My daughter loves seeing it when I watch them. She gets into it because the kids are there with him. But he brought him in, and he's just flowing the whole time. His kids are acting up a little bit. He's calling them out at the same time, but not skipping a beat with the interview. It's amazing. It's a completely different guy.
Yeah, he's Mr.
Yeah. And how about, too, we should also acknowledge, how about the backup QB coaching tree that Carson Wentz has created? I mean, first Nick Foles leads us to a Super Bowl, and now we have his other backup, Jalen Hurts, leading us to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, look at
– think about that, Dak and Wentz. Like, who was going to be the best quarterback? And then Hurts has more playoff wins than both of them. It's pretty amazing.
It is really funny. Someone had a great all the. I just love how the Cowboys are catching strays too. About Gardner Minshew had a snap in the NFC Championship game before Dak. So many good lines.
The Eagles had a great tweet. I think after. You know, after the game, and it was just a picture of Dallas Goedert, and it was, Dallas is going to the Super Bowl.
See, this is why we need 2 weeks. We need 2 weeks to make sure every rock and stone and potential angle of insulting the Dallas Cowboys is covered in our run up to the Super Bowl.
And how about I got to tell you, if like the art museum did this, I would not have been thrilled. But how about the Empire State Building lighting up green for the Eagles' victory?
It's pretty awesome.
That was great. And it was great how mad Giants fans got. And
people were in there just yelling.
the Empire State Building. And then again, messing with the Rocky statue just does not work out for people. So
I was just going to say, like, what Chiefs fan do we need to pay to throw a jersey on Rocky?
Well, Rob,
we
haven't gotten yet to your mission of, you're going to frame a Kansas City Chiefs fan by putting a Mahomes jersey on the Rocky statue. I mean, in the middle of the night, just show up there, put it on. Oh, it'd be great.
To be a terrible move.
Either that, or we need the Kansas City mayor to ask if Mahomes should take a paternity test to see if he's the daddy of Jalen Hurts. That seems to be the thing that swings games.
Oh, what was he thinking? Mayor, man.
Yeah, because if the athletes mention it in the press conference, you know they like that little bit of extra motivation. So, Eagles, don't talk any shit. No need to get fired up. And in a weird way, I do think the Chiefs celebrated a bunch for a team that's been to the Super Bowl. And again, you have 2 weeks, so whatever. But it felt like it was kind of personal for them beating the Bengals. I felt like the Eagles kind of took it in stride, and I don't know. They, considering a lot of guys going to the Super Bowl for their first time, I don't think they over celebrate.
That was a good point, Sean. It did seem like a more of an emotional win for the Chiefs. Granted, it was a closer game, but they really seemed to put a lot into it due to all the shit talking that had transpired with Burrowhead stuff being said.
There was, you know, Darius Slay mentioned George Kittle saying, you know, the defense looked good on paper, but it wasn't like Travis Kelce, you know, cutting wrestling promos. It wasn't all that kind of stuff that we saw from the Chiefs players after their win against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, we will be back next week previewing Super Bowl 57. I'll be down in Phoenix. If you guys are going to be out there, maybe going to see the Eagles in the Super Bowl, hit me up. Tweet at us at DieHardEagles52. And of course, subscribe. Toss us a nice rating review. Always appreciate that. For the Diehard Eagles podcast, I'm Sean, stacking the money green. For Rob, for Justin, go Birds!
Go Birds!
Go Birds!